So I'm going to lead us in another prayer just to focus our hearts in this time as we go into God's Word. So let's pray together. Father, thanks for this opportunity to be together. And we just pray that you would eliminate any distractions and just help us to receive from your Word this morning all that you have. And I just submit myself here as your servant. And I just pray that you would empower me and just use me as your instrument to deliver your word and your truth this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we are continuing our sermon series in the book of Ephesians. And the title of our sermon today, this morning, is Relating Well with God. So you can turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, 22 to 23. Or 22 to 33, and that's where we're going to be this morning. So it'd be good for you to have your Bibles open this morning there. So we as Christians, we believe that we have a relationship with God. And just like any other relationship, we would do well if we found out how God relates to us, if we found out how we can relate with God. And so the question that we're answering this morning, the question that today's passage answers is how does our relationship with God work? And so we're going to see the answer to this in today's passage. Now, as an opening illustration, just to help get us thinking along the lines of today's passage, I wanted to use an illustration of, imagine if a person came into this room, and this person wanted to give us an illustration of how our relationship with God works. And let's say that this person used an illustration and said, just like our physical homes, we need to clean our physical homes and get rid of the germs and the allergens and the clutter in our physical homes, is the same way that we need to do it in our spiritual home to get rid of the spiritual germs and the spiritual allergens, the spiritual clutter in our lives. I think you would agree that in this illustration that this person came in with, there would be a double benefit to it. We would do well to heed the advice of keeping our physical homes clean, of free of the allergens and the germs and the clutter. But if that's the only thing that we receive from that illustration, then we would miss the overarching point that person's trying to make, right? They're trying to talk about that as related to the spiritual home. So in today's passage, you're going to see a really famous illustration that Paul uses. Many of you are familiar with it, the illustration of husbands and wives and how that reflects Christ and the church. And I wanted to say that there is a benefit if we were just to heed the advice of the husbands and wives and find out how we are to relate in the marriage context. But if we just receive that from the passage, then we would miss the overarching point that Paul has been trying to communicate all along the way in the book of Ephesians, speaking about how we can relate with God. All right, so look at the illustration in today's passage, husband and wives, but then answering the question of how does our relationship with God work. Okay, Ephesians 5, 22 to 33, and it's up here on the screen in the NIV translation, so let's read it out loud together. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is a savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Okay, so let's just first talk about the earthly husband and wife relationship and see what Paul says about the earthly husband and wife. He says this in verse 25. He calls the earthly husbands to love their wives. Then he elaborates that, or he furthers that point in verse 28, and he says, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. And then he clarifies that point in the next sentence by saying, he who loves his wife loves himself. And this would fit in with the image about, you know, that when a husband and wife, they get joined together, that they are one flesh. So as a husband loves his wife, he's loving his own flesh, his body. And so he is loving himself. Now, I find this a very intriguing point about when an earthly husband, when we love our wives, we are actually loving ourselves. And I wanted to illustrate this point by showing you a poll that I took this past week from some of the husbands in our congregation, and I gave them this prompt. This is the prompt that I asked them, or I gave them. I said, give an example of a time when you loved or cared for your wife and how this ended up working out well for you too. All right, so they were loving their wives, but in that they were actually loving themselves. And here are some of the answers, or as four exactly of these answers that they gave. So here's the first answer. My wife is an avid shoe collector, and she had been wanting a nice shoe rack for a long time. One day I decided to get her a cool shoe rack. She was most pleased. Since getting the shoe rack, there have been no more shoes for me to trip over. As an added bonus, she even let me use a few spots in the bottom of her rack for my shoes. All right, so he's loving his wife, but in doing that, he's actually loving himself. This is true. Earthly husbands and wife relationship. Paul knew what he was talking about when he was giving that. Here's another example. A couple of months ago, I promised my wife that I would clean up some of the boxes in the garage, and I spent 2 hours doing so. She was really appreciative, and we had a really good dinner night out together. She treated me for dinner to one of my favorite restaurants. Husband loving his wife, but in turn, it's really him loving himself. Another example, my wife had a hard week at work, so I took her on a mini shopping spree for a couple of hours where she could swipe the credit card as much as she wanted, as painful as it was for me. As a result of the shopping spree, she released me from all chores at night so I could go play softball. And you could probably narrow this one down to a couple of people. One more. I recently purchased a Sims 3 for my wife so that she could replay her favorite game from childhood, the original Sims game. I realized that I really enjoy the game too, and now it's something we can play together. So you see, Paul knew what he was talking about when he was talking about earthly husband and wives. And I just give you just a couple of examples just to say, you know, this was true. That husbands love their wives. They're actually loving themselves. Not that we would do that selfishly. Not that we are supposed to, or that we would do this selfishly just to love our wives just so that we could benefit. But there is this mysterious benefit. And I use the word mysterious because Paul uses this word mysterious or mystery. He said this. He said this is a profound mystery. You know, when we're loving our wives, and this is us actually loving ourselves, he said this is a profound mystery. But then he clarifies this, verse 32, second part. He says, but I am talking about Christ and the church. So he was saying that as Christ, because there is this illustration, this one-to-one illustration, husbands, wives, Christ, church. He's saying that as Christ loves the church, when he cares for the church, when he cares for us as Christians, actually he's caring for himself. Right? Because this whole illustration here is that we are the body of Christ. So as Christ cares for us, he's caring for his own body. He's caring for himself, if you would let me put it that way, which is what this passage is, how this passage is really putting it. But let me put it this way for point number one. Okay. How does our relationship with God work? Point number one, Christ will certainly care for us because we are his body. Now, I know that many of us are familiar with this image and familiar with this illustration, very familiar with it. It's in other portions of the scripture too, right? That we are the body of Christ. He's going to care for us. I think lots of us this morning when we came into church, we would say that, you know, certainly Christ is going to care for all of us, all Christians. He cares for us. But for some of us this morning, we could be in a place where we could feel like the neglected member of the body. Where we might even feel this morning like the disconnected part of the body, where Christ might be caring for all the rest of the body, but we are uncared for or maybe even detached from the head. And I wanted to give us an illustration of this to help convey the point that Paul was trying to get across. Have you ever gone to the gym and seen a person and I just want to say, I don't mean to be offensive or judgmental, but have you ever seen a person who exercise one portion of their body really hard, and so they're really strong in that portion of the body, but maybe have neglected another portion of the body and not strong in that portion of the body? Specifically, have you ever seen someone that exercised their upper body a lot, their biceps are bulging out, you know, triceps, pecs, and all the rest, but they didn't exercise their legs? And so they have this huge upper body that's like, you know, just bulky and heavy, but these, you know, skinny, twiggy legs that you feel like, you know, and again, not to be offensive or judgmental, and they can lift more weights than I ever would imagine lifting, but it just seems like their legs would snap because of their, you know, this bulky upper body that they have. Wouldn't you agree that this would be unhealthy? But wouldn't you agree that maybe sometimes we could view that God would do this? That he would care for other portions of the body. He would love other portions of the body. Other Christians would experience healing. Other Christians would experience answers to prayers. But we might feel like the neglected part of the body, the part that God doesn't exercise. This would be, if you would let me put it this way, an unhealthy view of God. God is perfect. Christ is the head. He would not. It would be out of his character. It would be nonsensical for Christ to disconnect from us, from one portion of the body. But it is possible, wouldn't you agree, from other portions of Scripture or just from experience of life, that we as human beings and even as Christians, that we could disconnect ourselves from Christ? That we could get distracted by other things and go another direction and find some other help? That we could be the ones that disconnect from Christ. And so this morning, if you're here this morning and you might feel like that, is Christ caring for you? Is you seem like you feel like the neglected part? You feel like maybe the disconnected part? And that you would you this morning connect or reconnect with Christ so that he can adequately care for you? You might ask, well, how are you going to do that? How are you going to connect or reconnect with Christ? And the rest of this passage begins to speak into this. So let's look at verse 22. It says, "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord." Now, it was extremely interesting and intriguing to me when I studied this passage, because the word here for submit, the word here in the Greek is the Greek word idios, which means pertaining to self. So if I can reword this phrase or this sentence with the meaning of the Greek word, it's saying, wives, for your own self-interest, submit yourselves to your husbands. Now, there is an application, again, for an earthly situation and earthly wives. But again, this illustration is of Christ and the church. So speaking to us as Christians, that as Christians, would we submit ourselves to Christ? Because it's actually in our best self-interest. We're going to see later that there's other words of submit, and it's different than this one. But this one is about pertaining to self. For wives to submit to their husbands because it's in their best self-interest. And again, the application to us, and I'll put it this way for point number two, how does our relationship with God work? It is in our best self-interest to submit ourselves to Christ. Unfortunately, for some of us, or sometimes somewhere along the way, for us as Christians, we could feel like that Christ is like, it has us in like a headlock, and we need to submit, we need to tap out, and when we tap out, that's what he calls us to do, and we could have that image of Christ. But I wanted to give us a different image, and I think it's more appropriate, and is a better image of what Paul is talking about here of submit. Verse 22, submit. It's like a person, and you think of your dream college or the dream company that you want to work for, and imagine if you were submitting your registration form to that dream college, or you're submitting your employment acceptance letter to that dream company, and as you submit that to that dream school or to that dream company, we gladly do it. We eagerly do it. We are eagerly to submit to that dream school. We eagerly submit to that dream company because we believe in the vision and the leadership of that company. We don't just submit to them so that we could just come under their authority. We submit to them because we think that this is the best thing for us. We want to go to that school so we can benefit from going to that school. We want to work for that dream company so that we can continue to develop. We do it out of knowing that that is in our best self-interest. Not only because of that, but there's certainly that portion of it, and there's certainly that portion of what Paul was speaking about in this passage. Wives, submit to your husbands, not just so that you could be their slave, but because you know that in God's order of the way that he created us and how he has ordered the universe, that it's in our best self-interest to begin to live our lives that way. Same thing for us as Christians. Again, this is an illustration that Paul is using. But this morning I want to say it's not about us just mindlessly submitting. You know, if I could just go back to the illustration of a dream school or a dream company, there, even for a dream school or dream company, there could be certain policies or practices that we don't necessarily agree with, right? That we would say, you know, yeah, I believe in the vision of this school or company and the leadership of it, but these certain policies along the way, and maybe I don't necessarily agree with them, but we still submit to them because overall, overarching, we believe in the vision and the leadership of the company or the school. We could run into these same situations as Christians with God, right? We believe in God, we come and we submit to him, and yet there's some things that happen along the way that we wonder, is this in my best self-interest? Is this, what God's intended best for me? And so this morning, I wanted to say that for some of us, we need to come before God and like submitting to a dream college or a dream company is to say, God, I submit to you because I know that this is the best thing for me. But again, with the policies and practices that come along the way that maybe we don't necessarily agree with, how does God call us to navigate those situations? And I believe that Paul addresses this in today's passage as well. Verse 24. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. I just want to highlight the word everything. And then I want to point out that it was really interesting, intriguing to me that the word submit here is a different word that is in verse 22. It's a different Greek word altogether. Hypotasso was the Greek word, and it means to subordinate, to yield, to obey. Maybe more of the traditional definition that we would put on submit. This idea that we're just going to submit to God, submit to Christ, because he is the authority, we are obeying, we are yielding, we are subordinating ourselves because Christ knows better, right? And so it's the same thing going back to the dream school, that a dream company, that we may not necessarily agree with this subsidiary policy or practice, but we are yielding or subordinating ourselves because we believe in the overall vision and the overall leadership. I want to give an illustration of this just by maybe another context. So I wanted to use my 3-year-old son, Silas. And as the head of the family, he is called to submit to me. And there are some times, like point number two, that he submits to me because he realizes with his 3-year-old understanding that this is in his best self-interest. But there are some times that he is called upon to submit to me as the head of the household, just simply trusting that I know better. If Silas had it his way, he would eat ice cream for every single meal, at every single meal, and only ice cream every single meal. But yet he has to trust me, submit to me, if I can use that word, to know that I know better as his father, as the head of the household. For some of us this morning, we're here when it relates to God, when it relates to our Heavenly Father, when it relates to Christ, as this passage talks about, that we would say, this situation that's happening, is it really in my best self-interest? You might feel like this morning that God has you in a situation that you would feel like, in your own limited human understanding, you would feel like it's in your worst self-interest. Why would God allow me to get sick? Why would God allow me to get injured? Why would God allow that family situation to happen? Why would God allow that work situation to happen? This seems like it is not in my best self-interest. This might seem like in my worst self-interest. And we are not called to just mindlessly submit to Christ. And yet in this passage does call us, in this definition of submit, to subordinate ourselves, to obey, to yield, to simply in our hearts settle that God, that Christ knows better. This morning, if you're here and you have some situations happening in life, that you would say, you know, and you would just be honest and say, you know, God, I don't, this does, in my human understanding, this doesn't seem like it is in my best self-interest. That you might even say it's in your worst self-interest. That you could be honest to God and say that that's where you're at. And yet, as a next step, also come before God to declare his truth. To say, yet in the midst of my feeling that and thinking that and perceiving the situation like that, yet, God, I still declare your truth and I still align with your word to say that I choose to submit to you because you know better. I feel like that's a powerful two-sentence prayer. It's an honest prayer of saying, God, this is where I am. I don't understand what's happening. I would even say that I see this as being in my worst self-interest. I don't know why you're doing this. And yet, as a next step, also a powerful prayer of the declaration of who God is and our relationship with God, of saying, I still submit to you because you know better. This morning, I think that would be a powerful prayer for some of us to pray in the midst of what we are going through. And I want to lead us in responding to God's word this morning. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes? I would invite the worship team, if you could come forward in this time, prayer team, if you could come forward at this time as well. And I want to lead us in three specific responses of prayer this morning. First response, I just want to speak to the husbands that are here. There is a double benefit of this passage. It is speaking to us about husbands, wife relationship, and yet using it as an illustration of Christ in the church. All eyes closed and heads bowed, and I do ask us every week to make sure that we close our eyes, just make this a private moment, especially this morning, because I'm going to ask us to respond to some personal things. Husbands, are you here and that you would pray the prayer in alignment with this word and this passage that says, husbands, love your wives? And you would say, God, help me to love my wife as Christ loves the church. God, I'm not able to do that on my own strength, but I received this word. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. All eyes closed, heads bowed. With husbands, if you are in agreement with this prayer, you would pray this prayer this morning, just quickly put your hand all the way up and then down, and we're just going to pray together that God would give us strength to honor his word. Father, we just come before you this morning. We just pray for all of us husbands in the room. Lord, this is an impossible thing for us to love our wives as Christ loves the church. But we come before you and we ask for help. We ask you for strength. Wives, if I could speak to you for just a moment. This passage calls wives to submit to their husbands. Another translation of this passage would say, wives, respect your husbands. Sometimes that's difficult. Sometimes that's a challenge. And yet this is what God's word calls us to. All eyes closed, heads bowed. Wives, if you're here and you would say, God, help me to submit to my husband, to help me to respect my husband. I need your strength in this. Just put your hand all the way up and then down. We're just going to pray together that God would help us. Father, we just pray that you would help all the wives who lifted up their hands. Help us in the midst of receiving this word this morning. Help the wives to respect their husbands, to submit to their husbands as you call us to. Give us strength in that. Give us anointing in that. So I also wanted to give a call of response this morning for those of us who are here that have some situations going on where we might feel like these situations in our human understanding are not in our best self-interest. We might feel like it's in our worst self-interest. I want to lead us to pray a two-sentence prayer. The first sentence is, honestly, God, this is where I am. I don't feel like that this is in my best self-interest, maybe even in my worst self-interest. Second sentence, but God, I respond to your word. And I choose to submit to you because you know better. Honestly, God, I don't know what is happening, that this could be in my worst self-interest, but I choose to submit and declare that you know better. All eyes closed and heads bowed. Just put your hand all the way up and then down if you're praying that two-sentence prayer this morning. All the way up and then down. Just praying that over your situation and your life. Just, Father, we just come before you. And Lord, we just want to be honest with you. We just thank you that we can be in church and just be honest. That there are situations that are happening that we don't understand. And that in our limited human understanding, we would even say it's in our worst self-interest. But God, we choose to align ourselves with your word. And we just choose to submit to you and declare that you know better. So Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this time that you would minister to us. We wanted to share with you guys as well just some direction of prayer our prayer team has.
As Dennis was talking, I just saw this picture of two teeth coming out or growing, kind of like a kid who's teething. And I got this when right after the first set of worship, and I feel like this picture is specifically for young families. If you recently got married, or if you're still a young family and you're really young kids. I feel like this picture's for you, but I feel like it can also be given to anyone else who feels like this applies to them. But it was just a picture of, I saw chopsticks, a pair of chopsticks, and then I saw this kid, and I saw like two teeth coming out, kind of like as if the kid was teething, growing out their first teeth. And I guess in that time when a kid is teething for the first time in his life, they tend to get really cranky, and it hurts because their teeth is coming out. And so I feel like for some of you guys who are struggling with, like, say, submission, or, you know, what we talked about today, or what Dennis talked about today, you feel like there's that struggle. I feel like this message was just so timely for some of you guys in your families or in your young family relationship. Like, God just wants to say that he's there, and he's allowing this process to happen, and he's going to walk you through it, and there's so much grace in this situation we're at, but it's a process of growth. It's a process of moving forward, of growing together as a family, and he's so delighted to see you. So I just wanted to throw that out there. You can receive it where you're at in your seat, or you can also come up. We'd love to pray for you.